Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
What I see, though, is I can see America. You're in a terrible state. I don't know where that is on a map, but probably all of it.
Hey, guys. You know, with everything going on, I just want to remind everybody the famous words of Eddie Murphy, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Is that some sort of weird euphemism between you two guys?
To borrow one of Neil's phrases, it was a rough go, but we got through it. This is week two of the preseason. Here we go.
This show's not going very well.
Hey, we had 45-minute pre-show, and it was awesome.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to another fine edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hi, everybody, I'm Pod Vader. Fine edition, just because I didn't have any other adjective to put in front of the Next Fan Up podcast this week. How are y'all? Hope you're all doing well. Hope what we can provide an escape here on this podcast, although I have a feeling that we're going to touch upon a few things that are affecting the world and especially this country here in just a little bit. But mostly we're going to talk about football because that's what we're here to talk about. And we'll be previewing week two. We're already in week two of the preseason. And to help me with those previews, I have four super fans here. Let me introduce them all. I will bring in our guy from across the pond over in Scotland, Neil. He is our Washington Redskins super fan. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Jay. Hey, guys. Hope you're all right this week. All your problems over there. I think that's tough for you guys. But just to let you know that I found out this week that I'm strong but frictionless.
I don't know if I want to go down that road, so I'm not going to. And bring in our Texans super fan, James. Hello, James.
Hello, Jay. Aren't you excited for our teams to be meeting yet again?
Well, I mean, you are Patriots Junior. Your entire coaching staff is comprised of former Patriots, so it doesn't surprise me at this point. No response to that? I left you speechless.
That doesn't deserve a response, other than a bloody good slap.
Well, let's see what Eagles James has in store for us. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. You know, with everything going on, I just want to remind everybody the famous words of Eddie Murphy, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
The banana in the tailpipe. I will never fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Oh, no, sir. Not at all. And from prison zone six,
is that some sort of weird euphemism between you two guys?
You've never watched Beverly Hills Cop, Neil?
Oh my gosh, Neil, you got to watch the movie, man.
Yeah, I think I have seen it, but I was thinking more about you two. That's really weird. Move on.
That is most, by the way, if we've learned nothing, we have learned that Neil apparently has never seen Beverly Hills Cop, which
And he's also never seen your banana in James's tailpipe.
Hey, hey.
Listen, no one mentioned about anyone's specific banana or anyone's specific tailpipe. But I will tell you, if you lose a wager, your job is going to have to be to watch all of the Beverly Hills Cops movies and review them all. I want full details.
How many were there?
Look who finally found the line to cross after describing himself as strong and frictionless.
All right, the final member here is our guy, Kevin, in Prison Zone 6, our Dallas Cowboys superfan. Perhaps we shouldn't be making Prison Zone jokes anymore in regards to the Dallas Cowboys, Kevin.
Oh, my.
Hello, sort of goes everyone. Along with the whole banana, tailpipe, frictionless. It all rolls together.
No, it rolls together wonderfully. Just no comment.
I think the listeners can fully understand that the rest of us have been waiting for like 3 hours for Kevin to turn up tonight. So,
conversation. I was busy trying to unite the nations around this world. Come on now.
There you go. That is definitely admirable. And plus, he doesn't have to feel like Nick and Scott and Ryan and Ken and Jared and Sam and Andrew, our Jets superfan, and Chaps, the latest Titans superfan. As these are the superfans who all feel shame for not doing previews this week.
I also want to ask Neil a question that I've been wanted to ask him since Monday, I believe.
Hmm. Oh, are you going to ask me out?
No. I haven't got the courage for that yet. Maybe next week.
Damn it.
But you posted on Slack a bunch of Americans not being able to pinpoint North Korea on the map, which is embarrassing, but I already knew America was dumb. But you said that you think most UK citizens could pinpoint most US states on a map, and I just have a very hard time believing that. So here, well, you need to convince me that you're right.
Yeah. I think, you know, in school, we do get quite a lot of American history and American Americanization of the world. So I'm fairly confident that most of the, well, let's say at least the really well-known states, Florida and all the rest of it,
Can't tell me that Iowa, someone from Shirebrook knows where Wisconsin on the map is.
Oh, Wisconsin. Yeah, we probably would get that because UK and Green Bay, Wisconsin, all that Wisconsin kind of thing, that's probably quite well known to us. It might be more difficult when we get into more the sort of southern states of America.
Yeah.
And clearly not anywhere we'd want to go right now anyway. But
in fairness, most of the people in the South can't point out a lot of the states in the South.
But So as we've now alienated about a quarter of our listening audience, which we can't afford in the first place. That's right. Let's jump into a few other things. Remember, two pods a day. We are a member of that fantastic podcast promotion that's going on right now. You can find out all about two independent podcasts every single day by following two pods a day on both Twitter and Facebook. Fantastic program. And I believe a little birdie has told me Friday is when the next Fan Up podcast is going to be featured. So keep your earbuds on the lookout for that. Also, we present you a show twice a week at the very least, one that's available for you on Monday mornings, which is the recaps of all the games, and one that we present to you on Thursdays, which is the previews for all the games. So please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, AHA Radio, great places to hear podcasts, especially if you have one of those Alexa devices, one of those Amazon Echoes. Just ask Alexa to play the latest episode of the Next Fan Up podcast, and she is going to fire off the Next Fan Up show for you right there on that little speaker device. So subscribe, tune in, share with a friend, all that good stuff. All right. Am I missing anything else? I guess how to reach us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast, and that Facebook page where we post all of our podcasts and have interactions with you, the fans, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com, is where you're going to find the written versions of all these previews. And that is where we will begin with you, Eagles James, as you are kicking things off. Hosting the Bills this evening.
Looking forward to Alshon Jeffrey possibly suiting up in Wendell Smallwood, definitely in uniform, and our first look at newly acquired Darby, who's going to be our new number one corner. So this should be the first time we get the default starters for the number one offense on the field for probably the majority of the first quarter. See how Carson Wentz is truly connected with Alshon Jeffrey via practice and have that applied to real live game action. On the flip side, defensively, I'm looking more from rookie Derek Barnett, who performed admirably last week, albeit against the second and third team Packers offensive lines. This week, hopefully, he can get some run in the first team rotation against Buffalo. For Buffalo, I'm interested to see how McCoy looks. He's pretty much been injured quite frequently since being up in Buffalo. Him and Tyrod Taylor and the rest of the offense, see how they get going. Newly acquired Jordan Matthews, not expected to play tonight. Still has that chipped sternum that he's recovering from. And the rest of the receiving core, I don't know what's up there. So will it be a good test for the Eagles secondary to defense, or will they still show some of the lackluster performance lingering from last week? Because while Aaron Rodgers didn't play last week, the corners of the Eagles secondary pretty much got beat like a drum.
Mm. That's obviously not a fun thing to happen as a fan.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Ravens at Dolphins is the second game of the evening, and that game was assigned to me as I will use NFL.com and, of course, our own superfans to help me out here with the preview of what to watch for. And with the Ravens, we're still watching Ryan Mallett as he is the official backup to one Joe Flacco. Thad Lewis is now also with the team, but I doubt Thad Lewis is necessarily going to unseat Ryan Mallett in one game. And if he does, then Baltimore has a whole lot more problems than just their backup quarterback situation. And according to NFL.com, really it's the offensive line that we've got our eyes on with the Ravens. With the Dolphins, it's clearly Jay Cutler. He's going to make his preseason debut tonight. I don't expect to see him play all that much, though. It's week two of the preseason. Starters will probably get in maybe a quarter and a half, maybe a full half of the game, but that's probably pushing it. Depends on the team. So I doubt we'll see a whole heck of a lot of Jay Cutler, but of course we'll see enough of him to make a decision on him. Andy, our Dolphins superfan, wrote something late, so I'll have to check that out in just a second. Don, our Ravens superfan, will be watching Marlon Humphrey, who's expected to make his preseason debut tonight. Probably a much bigger debut than Jay Cutler's. hopefully the starting wide receivers are dressed and get a little more time with Mallett on the field. And he's hoping that extra playing time be given to the young pass rushers, Judon, Bowser, Williams, and Smith, to get a good idea of who will be the first guy rotated in on passing downs. Now to what Andy said about the Miami Dolphins. Basically, Andy is, of course, watching the Jay Cutler show, mentioning that when the Ravens have the ball, though, it's Ryan Mallett. The Dolphins defense should keep him scoreless. That's what he's hoping for. His prediction on the game, though, is Jay Cutler will look bad. Ryan Mallett will look worse. Dolphins will lose 20-17 because the Ravens' second and third team offense runs through the South Beach arm tackles of our backup defenders. Now, that's good fandom there, because he's probably nailed it perfectly, especially when it comes to evaluating the deeper part of the bench of the Miami Dolphins. All right, next game is the Bucks and the Jaguars. James, Texans, you have this one.
Yeah, so after going off the depressing mini camp or training camp, I guess it is, the Dolphins, let's continue in the depressing state of Florida, at least on the Jaguars side. At this point, we're just waiting to see how bad Blake Bortles can look and retain a starting job. You know, NFL.com says that they're not expecting them to go to Chad Henne, just that there's a lot of internal pressure on Blake Bortles. This is nothing new and has been reported, you know, since Tom Coughlin came in and since Blake Bortles has been, you know, bad the past several years. From the Buccaneers side, they are probably the best team in Florida, which they're the winners by default, the two sweetest words in the English language. And nothing. We are looking for a Tampa Bay Buccaneers super fan, should you know anybody. As far as NFL.com notes, Mike Evans, he's probably going to be the least heralded receiver from that particular receiving class, although he might end up being just as good, if not a little bit better. He's come to play the first preseason game, and they're looking for him to have another big impact on the second preseason game as he builds the additional rapport with Jameis Winston and a team that may finally live up to the expectations of all of those pundits trying to pick just kind of a darling sleeper team for the past 3 years.
Who else is in that receiving class that Mike Evans is ranking so low?
Well, definitely off the top of my head, I'm going to say he was in the draft class with Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham, Brandon Cooks, and Kelvin Benjamin. Among many others, definitely not named Randall Cobb.
Mm. You know, what's interesting about that, and maybe it's my fantasy bias, but I do feel like he would be the second named wide receiver out of that class. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Brandon Cooks is up there a little bit further. But, I mean, other than Odell, and I mean, Odell is more of a media thing than actual Well, I mean, he's got actual talent too. Let me not be completely biased. But, you know, I think Mike Evans gets his due. No?
Well, I mean, if you go into the second round, you get Allen Robinson and Devonta Freeman, or Devonta Adams. Man, great day. Jarvis Landry.
It's recognized as one of the great wide receiver drafts, no? That one?
No, yeah, 100%.
Well, there's some good names in there for sure.
Martavis Bryant?
You know what? This is why we need a Buccaneers superfan, so he could tell us just how wrong we were about Mike Evans' ranking, if he's underrated or overrated. I certainly don't think he's overrated, but I don't know if he's necessarily as underrated as we think. All right. Can we move on to the Friday's games? What do we say about that, gentlemen? The Friday's game is the Vikings at the Seahawks. That's where we start. I don't know why. Oh, because it's on the NFL Network. And if you're on NFL.com, of course, they're going to start there. It's the only game on Friday, too. That could also be the reason why. It's a 10 p.m. kickoff, Neil, and this game is yours. How did you get assigned the Vikings Seahawks? You want to be awake for this.
I assigned all the games, so I assigned myself the ones I was most interested in. And the ones that had recaps written down. You know, sorry, guys. So the Vikings, yeah, they're 1-0 after their opening preseason victory. But our Vikings superfan, certainly, he's concerned very much, obviously, as we all are, about the health and the injuries that on the team. He's very much hoping that the starters, don't see a lot of plays. And it was a question I actually had for you guys, just generally in terms of preseason, was... This is week two. Now, Washington starters played 6 snaps last week. 6 rather forgettable snaps, but still 6 snaps. Do you envisage your own teams playing more snaps this week? I know week 3 is traditionally the week where you see the starters for the most time, but I don't know. 6 snaps, is that enough?
The Patriots played 0 snaps for their starters, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Available Eagle starters played on the first series only. So that's typically how it goes. It all depends on how many plays are in that first series or drive. Typically, you'll see some teams who have struggling offenses leave the starters out for 2 or 3 series. If they go 3 and out constantly, the head coach will want to see more from the offense to see if that starting unit can actually sustain some type of productivity to at least produce a long drive, get a couple of first downs, and then get them out. But for the most part, the starting units week 1 in preseason play however long that first series is, anywhere between 6 snaps to 10 snaps, depending on how long the drive is.
Sure. Well, back to the Vikings, Jay, and certainly our superfan says that the offensive line last week, where have we heard this before with the Vikings, their offensive line was horrible against the Bills. And he's hoping for some sort of improvement there. And defensively, the run defense also horrible against the Bills last week, looking for an improvement there. So pretty much sounds to me like Vikings, horrible. In terms of the Seahawks, they won their opening preseason game, so they're on a bit of a roll there. A lot of talk about the 6'1" defensive back that they drafted, Shaquille Griffin. A lot of talk about him moving into a possibly challenging lane at the starting safety spot. Does Lane play? Maybe Lane's a cornerback, actually. He's maybe playing on the outside. They, of course, now, didn't they sign Tremaine Brock yesterday or the day before? The ex-49ers a cornerback who was, I think, was he released because he was having problems, legal troubles, but I think that's all cleared up. So he's signed, so... Maybe they'll see him maybe a bit early for him to get some snaps tomorrow, but he'll certainly add to that secondary. They're very happy with Blair Walsh. Justin is pointing out he was 8 from 8 last week in terms of kicks. So clearly he had a struggle against – it was in Minnesota, wasn't he? He was a Minnesota kicker, so
– Yeah, he won the Seahawks playoff game for the Seahawks.
There you go. So he's – obviously, the Trojan horse that is Blair Walsh, he's now back there with Seattle. So we'll see if he can kick his way to success against his former team. And I guess, I mean, what I'd be looking for, Jay, personally, and Justin's mentioned it, is Boykin, the backup quarterback. and this guy not looking great, and yet he still manages to keep his job ahead of a certain Mr. Colin Kaepernick, and some think that Kaepernick might be a really good fit there in Seattle. So it'll be a game where Justin wants to see the Seattle Seahawks first team players playing well, because although they won handily last week against the Chargers they played last week, he wasn't happy with the first team offense or defense. And of course, this is going to not be a game. If you're a lover of offensive lines, Jay, I wouldn't bother watching this game, because it's the Vikings and the Seahawks who may well have the two of the worst offensive lines in football. And we can't let it go by without mentioning, and I think you guys might know the story better than me, that Bennett, their defensive end, he punched Jermaine Ifeti some point this week and then apologized for it. So clearly happy days in Seattle.
I didn't even know. I thought you were going to go with a different headline involving Michael Bennett.
I'm glad you went with the right one.
I'm not touching that subject. You guys can squabble amongst yourselves. I don't care.
Good. See, that's the sort of reaction that we need out of all of the football fans, is who cares if you're standing or sitting or doing whatever during the national
anthem. I'm speaking on behalf of the rest of the world.
Good job, Neil. Good job. All right.
Banana in the tailpipe.
Banana in the tailpipe. Saturday games are on the docket. Panthers are at the Titans. Houston James, the guy who assigned you the game, decided to bring you back in, out of order.
Well, I mean, the maths over there and over across the pond just must not have added up. That or there's some huge demand for the dulcet tones of the Houston Texans superfan across the pond. Who knows? So that really likes to punish me, because neither the Carolina superfan or the Tennessee Titans superfan wrote up a preview, much like the Bucks and the Jags. So
shame.
All right then. Having seen the Panthers last week, I will know. I will be interested to see if their pass rush maintains the same level of intensity that it did last week. They looked incredibly good. Admittedly against a very poor Houston Texan offensive line. But if they can play at that level and get any semblance of offense, which they should not have any issues with either, they could easily get back to where they were 2 years ago. Maybe not quite to the 15-1 status, but definitely back to winning the AFC South, or at least contending with Atlanta for that. The NFL brings up that they have a Ted Ginn replacement. I'm not sure if they mean in the sense of how many passes he can drop or how fast and just a big playmaker he is. But Demir Byrd, he had a couple of good plays against the Texans last week, and we'll see if he can keep a roster spot. On the Titans side, they went and failed to put up a touchdown last week. I'm sure they're not terribly concerned with that, since those points don't count. They did establish a potential young star on defense, and that would be rookie fifth-round pick Jayon Brown. So their defense is definitely coming together. That was one of the bigger surprises last year, just how quickly they were able to rebuild both the offense and the defense. Ultimately, I think last year their defense let them down a little bit more than the offense. So I'll be interested to see if the Titans can – basically make good on the promise that the Jags have been making year after year, that this will finally be the year that they can turn that defense around. But they're definitely looking to be good. It should be a good defensive struggle, at least for the first quarter, and then all of the second string and third string should come in, and you can go ahead and turn something off if you were watching the NFL Network anyway.
So, James, the scheduler apparently not understanding the way that, a random rotation should work, has randomly decided that you're going to go again with the Chiefs at the Bengals.
Well, I mean, if it is truly random, then there is the possibility of somebody going back to back.
I suppose.
I'm particularly excited for this game, mostly because we have a write-up from our Kansas City superfan.
But not one from the Bengals superfan. For shame, Scott. For shame.
Yep. So what Nick will be looking for is the D-line and the defensive backs, depending on who's healthy and playing for Cincinnati. This Bengals squad should present some good challenges for the revamped and patched-up Chiefs defense. KC has put a lot of focus on getting tougher against the run, and it showed both in training camp and week one. So they're hoping to get starter Benny Logan and defensive end Chris Jones back from injury, and it will be exciting to see if this unit can show that they're up to the real deal and help KC bounce back. He's also interested in the cornerback depth behind Marcus Peters. Excited especially to keep an eye on Steven Nelson, DJ White, and Terrence Mitchell. And then the ground and pound with QB Alex Smith led the team in rushing in preseason week one, which would be bad enough in a game he played start to finish, but was especially worrisome since he was only in for one series and scrambled exactly once. That is not good. That is Houston Texans-esque in their running efficiency. Otherwise, you know, it looks as though the Kansas City starters are going to play a full first half or near enough to it, at least according to NFL.com. And that's because that they are trying to silence the hype on Patrick Mahomes. Several tweets out there, including one from Mark Sessler: Patrick Mahomes has an arm nobody else on the Chiefs can dream of. Good luck with that red shirt project. Best wishes. So it seems like a lot of pundits are going to believe that the future is now and that Alex Smith is on his way out the door in Kansas City. As far as the Bengals go, their first round pick, John Ross.
By the way, I can't let that go. I can't let that go. I tried to. I really did. But I mean, seriously, if Patrick Mahomes is the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, the AFC West other teams are all doing a dance of joy. They mm-hmm. would not be more happy that the rookie with the great arm will be coming in, throwing balls across his body into the end zone that could be picked off by literally anyone just standing there. That's not a third or fourth string cornerback. I mean, come on. That's
get him. Kevin, go get him, Pod.
Kevin, how was it? How did we manage to freeze Jay's screen a minute ago? Can we do it again?
I agree with everything that Pod said, so well done.
Go ahead. Let's talk about the Bengals, which, you know, has a coach on the hot seat.
Not much to talk about the Bengals. Their first round pick, John Ross, checked into practice for the first time this week. He may or may not see a couple snaps, and that's it as far as the Bengals go.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what happens when you don't write up a write-up on the Bengals. The only other thing that I would be watching for in terms of the Bengals is, you know, some of that coaching management, because I do think that as much as we don't want to believe that the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals could be on the hot seat, I really do think he's on the hot seat. A change is going to have to be made if the Bengals don't meet expectations this year. James, Texans, we're going to give you a break here just for a little bit, because we're going to go now to the Colts at the Cowboys, and the Cowboys superfan is online. Is that okay with you?
I mean, I suppose. I guess you guys do what you got to do. I'm just doing what the scheduler told me to do.
Well, all right. Well, then there you go. All right, Kevin, tell us a little bit about the Colts and the Cowboys. There's some big news. I don't know if you know about the Colts.
No, I do know.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the big news is that they're not good. No, but the big news is that Ryan Kelly, their first round pick from last year out of Alabama, the center, is going to miss part of the regular season because he's having foot surgery. So that already inept offensive line gets worse. So Andrew Luck, if he ever returns, that won't be good for him. He'll probably go back down again right away. So the Colts really, they honestly might be almost as bad as the Jets. And that's saying a lot. Without Andrew Luck, they may even be worse than the Jets. But the only positive thing that I'm looking forward to about the Colts is their rookie pass rusher, Terrell Basham from Miami of Ohio, who I actually wanted the Cowboys to draft. He's literally the only thing I'll be paying attention to on the Colts side of the ball defensively, other than, I guess, Malik Hooker, their first-round pick. But other than that, really, the Colts are just a disaster. I mean, Scott Tolzien is gonna play again this week. He's probably going to be the starter week one. And last week, the Colts had 4 first downs in the first half for 86 yards. So that is it's pretty awful. It's really not going to get the job done. I think if the Cowboys offensive line doesn't completely manhandle the Colts defense, I'm going to be a little disappointed. And Kellen Moore, who now will go on to the Cowboys, the actual NFL football team. Kellen Moore has actually looked horrible the first 2 preseason games. And sort of our rookie quarterback, Cooper Rush, is sort of quickly becoming a fan favorite down in Dallas. And I personally think that if he continues to outperform Kellen Moore and Luke McCown just so drastically, then he should become the backup quarterback, although he's no experience and Dak Prescott only has 1 year of experience, obviously. But to me, playing better is having more potential and showing it actually on the field is a whole hell of a lot better than having a little experience and doing nothing with said experience. So Kellen Moore, you are officially on watch and you better improve yourself. Otherwise, I think your backup job is greatly in jeopardy for Mr. Cooper Rush. But other Cowboys news, the most important thing is Jalen Smith seems like he's going to get his first game action for the Cowboys, and that is obviously super, super exciting. So I'll be pumped to watch him on the field. I don't think he's going to play with the first team, but he should play with the second team. So definitely the most exciting thing about this game for the Cowboys is to watch Jalen Smith. And then, of course, it's going to be fun to watch Rico Gather, see if he can continue his excellent preseason. And then 2 more players of note that I'll be looking for on the Cowboys. Keep this short. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf this year. Brevity is going to be my strong suit. Ryan Switzer is going to get his debut, it looks like, for the Cowboys, the 4th-round rookie out of North Carolina, the wide receiver. So it'll be fun to see how the Cowboys utilize him. And then lastly, Xavier Woods, rookie out of Louisiana Tech, was all over the field last year. I've been talking to him all offseason, all preseason. Be good to see if he can follow up last week's performance with an equally impressive performance this week. Not going to give a prediction for the game because score is meaningless. The Cowboys will probably lose. I don't know offhand, but I feel like the Cowboys have lost like 8 of their last 9 preseason games. But, yeah, those are the things I'll be looking forward to. I'll be looking forward to Scott Tolzien being worse than Kellen Moore, and I'll be looking forward to the young Cowboys defense, especially Jalen Smith, coming to play against that horrible Colts offense.
I have 2 questions to ask you, both related to superfan Neil. The first one, Neil asked to ask you about Taco Charlton.
Oh, Taco, my boy. He had a rough Hall of Fame game, improved last week against the Rams. So, of course, I'll be looking, have my eye out for him to see if he continues to get better. Of course, as everyone knows, he was our first round pick, so there's high expectations for him. But he had his first Dallas Cowboys sack last week. Hopefully he can follow that up this week. It will be good to see him out there on the field. He needs to improve. But one good thing I've heard about Taco Charlton is that he's better against the run than I could have expected. So that quick into his first year to hear that's a good sign. And what's the other question? My
other question for you would be, do you prefer to see Run DMC or Alf Morris taking snaps with the ones since Ezekiel is going to be suspended for 6 games?
I really don't have a strong preference. It may be surprising. I think they're literally they would give us the exact same thing. McFadden obviously is better out of the backfield, but I think Alfred Morris at this point, he has more tread left on his tires. He's younger. I think he would probably be a more effective runner than McFadden, but just barely. So I think that they should both get time. I think McFadden will get reps with the first team. I think he's going to be the starter week one if Zeke, when he's suspended. I mean, he just appealed his suspension, but I don't know what that means if he's going to be able to play. I don't know how the NFL works, really.
The appeal is going to be heard on August 29th. Again, basing this on, you know, having gone through this process recently with my own team. The appeal will happen on the 29th. A decision should come from the league office probably within the week before the season kicks off, so that the Cowboys will have a decent idea going into the season if he's going to play or not. If that decision then gets appealed to a higher court, then there's a chance Ezekiel would play this season, and then the suspension would go towards next season because he's ultimately going to lose in the court of law. But yeah, so that's pretty much how I see it. I don't know if it's going to get that far. We haven't heard a lot from Jerry Jones about this. I know Eagles James had some pretty strong comments about that before we started recording. But, you know,
I hear people are angry at Jerry because he's not outright condemning domestic violence.
Well,
but, yeah, that was a bad joke. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, I think there's so many different angles about this story that come into play, and never mind the domestic violence part, which is the most serious part. But Jerry Jones, who was in full support of Roger Goodell in another suspension that occurred at one point in NFL history, now all of a sudden on the other side of things, doesn't seem to think that the commissioner's everything and a bag of chips here. Just saying.
I mean, once it affects you, you have a different opinion, right? But next game, Cowboys best team in the NFL. We know that. We shouldn't even have to waste our last 10 minutes.
Giants are at the Lions. Eagles, James, you get to come in and join the show.
Actually, it's the Jets that are at the Lions. But playing Jersey.
My apologies.
Well, you said Giants, so.
Oh, I said Giants? My goodness. It's one of those shows.
It is one of those shows, isn't it? Oh, my God.
While I would love to look and see a preview written by either the Jets or Lions superfans, I'm pretty much hung high and dry here. So.
Well, we don't have a Lions superfan, so they can apply at nextfanup@gmail.com. And Andrew, our Jets superfan, he feels shame.
Well, I'd feel shame too looking at his roster, but still got to write up. You know, we live and die by our team. So starting with the home team, the Detroit Lions, interesting tidbit right now is that currently they have four tight ends on the injury report, all listed as questionable: Timothy Wright, Cole Wick, Eric Ebron, and Kari Lee. So if you're looking for a tight end battle, you might have one. Other than that, Matthew Stafford looks to be same old Matthew Stafford. Golden Tate supposedly is being moved to the slot. So I would be looking to see how that plays out in this game since the starters want to be on the field for more than a series or two. The Lions have also been hit with a couple of injuries. Kari Hyder's out for the season. Kenny Galloway is nabbing first team reps. So that could be why Tate might be pushed to the slot position in their offense. On the flip side with the Jets, which thank you guys for giving me this game because I struggle to find something positive to say. They will be putting players on
James, the... James, I gave you the game because they wear green.
Someone cut Neil's mic. positive thing about the Jets is that players will be in uniform for them tonight. That's pretty much all I got. If you haven't heard, Lucky Whitehead, who pretty much got a second chance after the Cowboys unceremoniously cut him for no good reason, broke his foot, and he is out indefinitely with that foot injury. I don't recall seeing Matt Forte last week in the Jets preseason game, so I'll be looking to see how he performs offensively this week as far as which team they put him with, considering the consensus around the league is that this team is tanking. If he is on any unit other than the first unit, and that could spell the end of his career possibly. And if you're looking for a quarterback battle with the New York Jets, you'd probably have a better chance suiting up and flying up to New Jersey yourself.
I wouldn't mind being the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
Know you wouldn't.
I'll take the salary just for a year, the minimum salary for a year. That'd be great.
Yeah, and you try to start for two games and throw like 8 interceptions each.
Only to the Patriots. Every other team I'd try to win. But
so he's twice as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick. Got it.
Ah, ta-da. Good job. Hey, 15 guys caught passes on the Jets last week. That's pretty impressive.
15?
That they even had 15 guys that could catch passes.
I think that's running backs.
Wow, 15. That's crazy. That's probably not good.
The running back and the tight end
to have that many.
How many defensive backs were involved in that, Jay?
That's a good question. Excellent question. Because I have no idea who our Darius Stewart, Sharon Peak, and Chad Hansen are. Sorry, gentlemen.
I think our Darius Stewart is a rookie out of Alabama, but I have no clue who the other two are.
Yeah, see? Got me. Good luck, New York Jets. And New York Giants for that matter. But in any case, let's move on to the next game. And this one goes to the guy who scheduled everybody. That is Neil. What a surprise. It's the Green Bay Packers at Washington Redskins.
Hey, what a great game. Looking forward to it. Just to with a thought to our striving to be accurate, Jay, just to let Kevin know that Dallas are 3-7 in their last 10 preseason games.
Thank you.
Anytime. The Green Bay Packers at the Washington Redskins. Well, we thrashed them last season. I'm surprised they've got the cheek to turn up again for this game. But here they are. And Green Bay, Green Bay Brian, he's keen to see how the running back situation plays out, because obviously Montgomery is injured, as we know. And it looks like Jamal Williams is next man up. There's some rookies in there too to see if they can find some semblance of a running game. And how often do we see it in the NFL? Some guy gets injured, another guy steps up out of nowhere and becomes a future star. So maybe they'll see something special there. And going against Washington's run defense, they've got a pretty good chance. The cornerbacks and safety players for Green Bay. Brian's a little bit concerned. They actually showed quite a lot of blitzing last week, and blitzing's not the thing you see a lot in preseason. Certainly, we'll see if that's going to be repeated this week. And hope they're not showing their hand too much in terms of the regular season. It's the safety position itself. They're looking at Marvin Evans, Kentrell Bryce competing for a spot. It looks like the guy who must be a bundle of fun, Clinton Dix. He's penciled in there as a starter and looks pretty good. So that's pretty much it from Green Bay. It's all about, I think Brian puts at the start of his preview, please no injuries, just stay injury free. And that's the key thing. Don't think Rodgers played a snap last week, did he? Aaron Rodgers, and it's probably unlikely he'll play again this week. And I'm not sure. I quite like to see my quarterback play a little bit, get into some sort of rhythm. And I think we'll come to that later on with some of the other games. In terms of Washington, the superfan put in, I've got to say, Jay, just an absolutely outstanding preview for this game. One of the best I've seen. Mm. And I've heard he's an extraordinarily handsome guy as well. Right. He has said that the first team offense. That's factually correct. The first team offense played 6 snaps last week. I'd much rather be speaking about salmon fishing on this podcast. That'd be much better. I think the offense, it's not looking good, Jay. And I like to have some momentum in our offense. Get some rhythm going there. You got to find the mo to make some dough. So let's see if Washington can do that at the weekend against Green Bay. Offensive line looked terrible last week, but we know it's a much better unit than they showed, so we'll see if they can get a bit more cohesion there offensively. There's not a lot of battles really in Washington. We spoke about that last week. Jeremy Sprinkle and Carrier at tight end, they're battling it out. I think Mark Carrier's going to lose out there, and Sprinkle's going to get the spot. Jay Gruden was speaking quite highly of him this week. And at the running back position, Perrine is not taking over from Rob Kelly. Fat Rob is holding on to that job. And I think a lot of that is down to Kelly being a really decent blocker in the passing game. Perrine not showing that so far. And defensively, well, I don't know. Defensively, it's still a mess. We've lost Stuart Cravens now. He's going to be out for the rest of preseason. And will he be back for week one? I'm not sure, Jay. They always say they'll be back for week one, but that can take some time to get back into rhythm again. So yeah, Green Bay, Washington, no injuries, please. And let's score a touchdown. Hey, that would be a novelty. Washington might score a touchdown this week.
It would be a positive sign for sure.
The Patriots are at the Texans, and we have the Texans superfan here. James, would you like to lead off here?
I mean, it has been two whole game previews without me having to speak, so I guess we can get going there. So Patriots and Texans have actually been in joint practice at camp together. If you want to read something that will make you want to claw out your eyes, go read Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback. Breakdown is a generous term of how that practice went. It will be between week three of last year and week three of this year, the Texans are going to end up meeting the Patriots four times. Obviously, there were two losses last year, and in the preseason here, it doesn't really matter if there's a win or a loss. But it's probably setting up for a regular season loss as well. I'm going to be very interested to see how much Tom Savage is going to end up playing. Bill O'Brien still standing by the notion that Tom Savage is going to be the week one starter. He'll probably keep him in there until the Patriots defensive starters come out. That way, no matter how good Deshaun Watson plays, he can always use the cover of, well, yeah, he was just playing against the twos and threes, and Savage played against the ones. It'll be interesting to see if the offensive line looks any better or has any better communication than what it did last week when it was racking up false start and holding penalties. And it definitely had an uptick when they went from Savage to Watson. Savage just standing back there as a statue is not going to lead to quite as many holding calls as knowing that Watson is going to have to move around a little bit and able to buy a little bit more time. So that will be interesting. Every time that either Savage or Watson gets touched, I'm guessing that Dwayne Brown will see an eventual additional $100,000 on whatever contract negotiation eventually comes to. And then I'm just hoping that the special teams can, field punts and kickoffs and then not let up nearly 10 yards per punt return like they were doing last week. This is a great opportunity for that, just given how dismal the Patriots special teams are. So what do you think, Jay? What are you going to be watching for?
Wait a second. Dismal Patriots second special teams. What are you talking about? They're not that dismal. Although,
well, compared to the Texans, you are correct. They are not that dismal. Every other team is just playing for second to last when it comes to the Texans and special teams.
We are watching Cyrus Jones as the kick returner, wondering if he is actually going to remain on the team all the way to the official cut down day or if he gets cut early. My guess is he's going to get cut early. And I think I spoke about this with Matt Chatham during the Expert League draft. If you haven't listened to the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League draft, I do recommend it. There are some great nuggets in there that are not just fantasy relevant, but football relevant. We talked a little bit about Deion Lewis, the running back for the New England Patriots, and how Matt believes that Deion Lewis is going to make the team. All of those running backs on the Patriots, Deion Lewis, James White, Brandon Bolden, Mike Gillisley, Rex Burkhead are all going to make the team, which I find to be a little bit optimistic. And I think that Deion Lewis is the guy that's actually on the outside looking in, but the safety for his job remains in the fact that he is a kick returner and can, and would be the guy if Cyrus Jones is not going to be that guy. And this just in, Cyrus Jones isn't going to be that guy. What I'm curious to hear from you, James, as I'm reading this article here on the Boston Herald, that Marcus Cannon has been handling J.J. Watt in practice. Like, J.J. Watt is just another dude across the line, because Marcus Cannon, this just in, also just another dude.
Yeah, you know, we've basically said how overblown, you know, training camp reports and practice reports are. You know, Watt looked pretty good against the Carolina Panthers. He's definitely getting all the way back up to speed. I'm not going to put too much stock in a training camp report, especially by the biased news source that is the Boston media.
I would agree. By the way, do yourself a favor. nextfanup.wordpress.com. Select the preseason week 2 previews and look at Patrick, our New England Patriots superfan, write up previewing this particular game. You will not be unhappy that I made you do that instead of just reading it here on the podcast. The Broncos are at the 49ers. And this game was scheduled to, yes, Kevin, Cowboys.
All right, let's see here. The Niners. Did brief research on them because I'm such a good podcaster here. I wanted to come in prepared. But they need to improve upon last week's penalty fiesta, because I read it about 5 times just to make sure I was reading it correctly. They were penalized 17 times for 131 yards last week against Kansas City. So obviously preseason week number 2, they should probably try to fix that. Brian Hoyer and Carlos Hyde, they also were relatively ineffective week 1, although they had saw very limited playing time. But with Joe Williams, the rookie out of Utah, I believe it is, for the Niners, I think he looked pretty good last week. And there have been rumors that Carlos Hyde is sort of on the hot seat. I mean, I'm sure he'll be on the team week 1, but I've read several things from several places that he, like, it wouldn't be out of the question for him not to be on the team week 1. I mean, that's probably just off season, nothing to report news, but it's worth mentioning, I think. And then other than that, I mean, it's, of course, I'm going to be looking for Solomon Thomas. He had a huge, huge game last week. He was one of the highest rated players on PFF from week 1 of the preseason. So him and the middle linebacker out of Alabama, who I'm forgetting his name at the moment, it's going to be fun to watch them. And that's it about the Niners. I think that's pretty much all the important things. For the Broncos, I mean, I think the only thing that matters for the Broncos, and I think the only thing Broncos fans really care about, is finally solving that quarterback controversy. And is Trevor Siemian going to be the starter, or is Paxton Lynch going to be the starter week 1? And I think Vance Joseph, if I recall, and I think that's the head coach at the Broncos, they should probably get familiar with all the new signees now that it's almost September. But that's definitely the only thing I'm looking for. I mean, their defense looked amazing last week. The Broncos, they need to shore up their run defense a little bit. Their defensive line has sort of been undergoing some injuries lately. Derek Wolf had an injury this week. Thankfully, for Broncos fans, I don't think it's that serious. But, yeah, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, who's it going to be? Probably going to be Trevor Siemian, because Paxton Lynch, I just don't have that much confidence in. He makes some wild plays, but he's not consistent. And, well, as a quarterback, you got to be consistent. So, yeah, that's my Hall of Fame analysis of this very all-important preseason week number 2 game.
Just to give a little bit more on the quarterback battle going on in Denver, Trevor Siemian started week 1 of the preseason. Paxton Lynch will be starting this week, and we don't know who is starting week 3. I would assume whomever is got the leg up on the starting job for week 1 of the regular season. Neil has unmuted himself. I assume that means he wants to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Kevin. Of course, the Cowboys were after Paxton Lynch in the draft the previous year.
God.
Are you glad you because he looks rough, huh? He looks really rough.
He looks terrible. I mean, oh my God. Thank God the Broncos traded with the Seahawks and not the Cowboys to get Paxton Lynch. I would have been just, oh my God, Neil, you have no idea. It was like Johnny Manziel 2014. I was praying the Cowboys didn't draft him. So thankfully, we did avoid that thanks to the Seattle Seahawks trading to the Broncos. I mean, I was never a Paxton fan even last year. He was getting all this hype, especially the last 3 weeks leading up to the draft, a la Patrick Mahomes this year. We'll see if it works out any better for him. I doubt it. But he came out of Memphis, and he was just like any quarterback that comes from Memphis, they obviously don't play a pro-style offense. It's just I just have a hard time putting my faith in quarterbacks like that. And just, I'm ever so grateful we don't have him.
All right. The Broncos are all done. It's now time for another B team. The Bears are at the Cardinals, and James Eagles has this one.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the write-ups here for both the Bears and the Cardinals, starting with Arizona. Their super fan, Dr. Jones.
Yes.
He's looking at DJ Humphrey and John Brown, both who are either played inconsistently or didn't play at all last week. Defensively, he's looking at Robert Kendiche to see if he can overtake the starter, Josh Morrow. What I'm looking for Arizona is on the offensive side of the ball with their backup quarterback situation. We all keep saying, and I think the rest of you are in agreement with this, that they're one good Carson Palmer hit away from going 3-13. And their backup quarterback situation is worse than some college teams, in my opinion. So I'm not sure who the backups are in Arizona, but I'm pretty sure Arizona doesn't want either of them starting a single game this season.
The real American.
Yeah. So they have no one in Arizona starting. And fans, if you're listening, I suggest you fly out to Arizona. Talk to Arians, and maybe you can suit up for Arizona as their backup quarterback, because even if you don't play for Arizona, you don't even like Arizona, I suggest doing that, because Arizona's backup situation is beyond abysmal, and to suggest anyone on that roster not named Carson Palmer is a qualified quarterback is laughable at best. On the Bears side, of course, everyone is looking for Mitchell Trubisky. Word to the wise, he is not starting. I want every Bears fan out there, everyone who's on the hype train, to settle down. He's not starting. He will still be coming in with the twos and the threes, and that will be his competition. So while he looked good in week one, we have to put all this in perspective that a lot of these rookie quarterbacks are not playing with first teams. Next week, if you see one of the starters play with a first team unit, then you can raise an eyebrow, make some noise. But right now, these are not competitions warrant talking about, because the way things are pacing, none of them are going to start week one, especially not Trubisky. Bad news for Bears fans, though. Reuben Randle did get placed on the IR on Monday of this week. So that should shake up some things in the receiving core. Last week I saw Cruz play extremely well when he did get in, but again, he wasn't with the first unit. So we'll see how his health plays out as well going forward with that, as well as Prince Amukamara, who's also on the injury report, and seeing whether he'll play tonight. Of note also is Kyle Long, who got in a fight earlier this week and then the next day was missing at practice. So his presence with Chicago is somewhat up in the air right now, I guess.
That's
but those are just my short takes right there. I suggest reading the write-ups for both super fans to get more insight on both teams.
That's nextfanup.wordpress.com. There you go. Neil, in the interest of accuracy, mentions that Long has an ankle injury.
Ah, is that what it is?
Also, in the interest of accuracy, I don't think Bears fans particularly mind Reuben Randle's on injured reserve. As a Cowboys fan, I'm deeply upset to see he's no longer on the Giants. So,
by the way, also, if we're going to continue this interest of accuracy, Connor Orr, who wrote these write-ups for NFL.com, mentioning that it is ridiculous to be calling the Bears quarterback competition a sham, as Glennon was the only one playing against a first string defense. A second strong outing from Trubisky is not going to quiet them down. Yet, apparently, Connor, you didn't have the same take on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, come on. You can't have it both ways, people.
Alexa,
because people
Alexa,
have been trashing Alex Smith for years. Both sides are to blame.
Alexa, Jay. Very well then, Neil. Why don't you talk about the Los Angeles Rams at the Oakland Raiders of Las Vegas?
Yeah, we might as well keep the outstanding quarterback conversation going. Jared Goff will be lining up here in this game for the Rams. and of course, he has a new target, doesn't he? Sammy Watkins, the guy we spoke about last week, of whether he had actually still had 2 feet or not. He's been traded to the Rams, and hopefully he'll get his 2 feet running down the sideline to stretch the field for Jared Goff. And you've got to imagine, when you've got a new receiver like that coming in, you want to get as many reps with him as you can with your quarterback. So I would expect to see Watkins and Goff lined up there in the field quite a bit in this game. The other big news for the Rams, and sorry, Jay, there was no write-up here, so I'm just going with what I think about the Rams, which is not an awful lot. Aaron Donald, he's the holdout guy, and I can just give you some breaking news on the Adam Schefter timeline.
Oh, good job. Good job.
Yeah, and Schefter writes, Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald's holdout is threatening to last into the regular season, per league sources. Oof, those league sources. So, yeah, maybe Aaron Donald will hold out longer. And, of course, they've got the great defensive coordinator there, whose, of course, name's escapes me at the moment, from Denver. And he'll be wanting him in there to really anchor that defensive line. Yeah,
by the Wade way, yeah. By the way, just to go further on that Aaron Donald story, Adam Schefter is able to go more than 140 characters on Facebook.
Yep.
Mentions that one source speculates Donald could sit out all of 2017. This is highly unlikely, by the way. We've not seen this occur anytime in the recent past. But the fact that such strong thoughts exist right now provides a snapshot into where the two sides are, and that's not particularly close. So interesting that Aaron Donald is still considering sitting out deep into the 2017 season. That's a lot of money.
Is that just posturing? James,
what I don't get about the Aaron Donald thing, though, is the Rams only have $5 million in cap space left. In fact, I think it's a little bit less than that, because I don't think on over the cap, it's $5 million. I don't know if that's with the impact of the Sammy Watkins trade or not. But if Aaron Donald is looking for just like game changer money, the only way they're going to be able to do that is, you know, through a huge signing bonus or a roster bonus or something to that effect. And, you know, just having $5 million to play with this year for the entire season isn't something that they can really work with.
Like, and that's really,
I guess you could make it like we'll give you a $20 million roster bonus if you make the roster for making the roster in 2018 to kind of defer it. But even if the Rams wanted to give him a contract, yes, there are ways to do it. But you see what happens in like New Orleans when this kind of stuff happens, or, you know, to a lesser degree in Baltimore when this kind of stuff happens. Like you're not putting yourself in a good position, especially for a guy that, you know, is under contract.
Who has all of their money tied up?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Money? You said, what is GM? Well, Tremaine Johnson's got most of it, I think, but.
So here's your top three players. Here's five players, each of which are making more than $10 million this year. Trumaine Johnson, 16.75. Tavon Austin, he's a Honda Civic under being paid $15 million.
Gross.
Mark Barron, and not a nice Honda Civic either.
Yeah, like any given stock. Sunday, drives off in a Honda.
So Mark Barron, he's making $11 million. Michael Brockers is making $11 million. Robert Quinn, okay, he deserves $10.75 million. It's just amazing how much they have tied up and are still going to struggle to win four games this year.
I mean, you've got to ask yourself, I mean, Les Snead, I mean, how has that guy still got a job? Tavon Austin's on $15 million. Wow.
Sammy Watkins is the third highest paid wide receiver on the team.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Woods is the most expensive wide receiver. If we're counting Tavon Austin as a running back. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's a question though, Jay, isn't it? What position does Tavon Austin actually play? He doesn't play any position.
That is the question.
He's a real life flex. They use him in running plays and passing plays.
Really?
This is basically what they've done with him in the past.
Yeah.
Jet sweeps, gadget plays out of the backfield. Rarely do I see him run over the middle to catch a pass. He's mostly running go routes, corners, or posts.
And he's done pretty much zero in his career. And he got that massive extension, didn't he, last year?
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher. Wow. No wonder he was crying when Jeff Fisher left.
Aaron Donald currently makes $3.2 million plus.
And let's also remember Jermaine Johnson is playing under the franchise tag this year. So,
for the second year in a row, is that right?
Is it the second year in a row? Did he get tagged last year too?
Did he get tagged?
No, I think this is first year being tagged.
He's got that to look forward to. In terms of, I mean, you can understand Donald, can't you? Because Donald is by far and away the best player on that team. I mean, by miles, he's not even. The rest of the team are not even playing in the same stadium as him. He's such a great player, and he's what's it, $3 million?
$3.225 million. The player immediately behind him. So Aaron Donald is the 14th highest paid player on the Rams at $3.225 million. $3 million, you know, and change. Directly behind him, the punter, Johnny Hecker, at $2.6 million.
Wow.
He's a good punter, though. Give him a break.
Yeah, he made the all-what's-his-name team from ESPN. So.
Bill Barnwell, he was also on Dude Perfect.
Yeah, Dude Perfect, yes. Even my kids know who Dude Perfect is. All right.
Have you had enough Rams chat yet, Jay? I mean,
I was about to say, yeah, we should probably move on to the Oakland Raiders of Las Vegas.
Yeah, Monty's done a fantastic, although it's one glaring error from Monty, but we'll get to that in a minute. Otherwise, a terrific preview from Monty. Raiders 0-1 after losing their first preseason game. There's a lot of buzz about Toledo defensive tackle, the 6'2". 304-pound Trayvon Hester, rookie, and he's looking good there at the defensive line position. And Monty's certainly looking for some more play from Vidal Alexander and also Sharp, the rookie, and really looking for some good outings there to solidify that interior defensive line, which, probably needing a little bit of youthful input there. Monty wonders what's Cordarrelle Patterson's role in the team. Is he just going to be the punt returner? When he signed, they said to him, yeah, you can challenge to be a wide receiver there, but he's still battling for the number four spot, a wide receiver. So he probably needs to have a good game to protect his roster spot. He also wants to see some more from Obi Melanfonwu, who I think was their second round pick this year, and first rounder Connolly, the chap who was, of course, had some off-field difficulties. They took him in the first round. Maybe a week too early for him, but they're certainly looking for some more from him, I think, in the upcoming weeks. And Sean Smith, the nearly forgotten man now. Is he going to contribute, or is he just going to get off the team? Monty, I think, is probably erring towards the latter there. He's not a Sean Smith fan, and he's taking up a lot of cap space. He's probably... if you want to equate Sean Smith, he's three Aaron Donalds, I think, at the moment. I think he'd be speaking about a kicker. I'm not quite sure. Giorgio Tavecchio, who sounds like he's got some Italian roots there. He's a up-and-coming young kicker. They like him. And nothing from Monty. I think quite tellingly, nothing from Monty about the tight end position, which still looks a weak spot to me, Monty. And you've got to get something with that tight end or else Derek Carr's going to end up flat on his back like he was last year. You need a tight end.
By the way, Obafemi Melifonwu, the only reason why I know how to say his name is because he's from UConn and heard it quite a bit. And he's on my all name team. James, Eagles James, I believe you have a guy that's on the all name team.
We do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Alapulavati Vaitai.
Right tackle.
There you go. Nailed it. Nailed it.
I mean, but there are no Chris Fuamatu-Maafala or Olufemi Aiyemadejio.
Whoa. Round of applause.
Dang. We're just going to nail it. It might actually be just the all Samoa team. It may not even be an all name team. It just might be Samoan names. All right. Do we have anything more to say about the Raiders?
Well, do you know what DJ
they're could moving
you-
to Vegas?
Could you put a pin on a map for Samoa?
It's somewhere in the Pacific Ocean.
I bet Kevin couldn't.
Oh, that's well done. All right. Let's move on to the Sunday games. And with the first game on Sunday being the Falcons at the Steelers, that was assigned to you, Eagles James.
So this would be an interesting matchup here. The Falcons don't have much in the way of injuries, but MJ, a Falcons fan, in his write-up does note that Freeman's still going to be out in the concussion protocol and to look for Ward to step up and get some more snaps with the possibly first-team offense and for the duration of the game. But he does want to see more from the defense overall. Wasn't happy with their performance last week, at least not overall. Said they played good, but nothing really to wow him. So naturally that leads towards their rookie Tack McKinley and his performance, which he was very impressed with and looking to see more of the same. Pittsburgh, while I'm going through this, I have noticed that a lot of the rookies are pushing some veterans in practice for playing time, most notably TJ Watt and James Harrison. Harrison was seen making comments that he's, quote, fine with his role since Watt has been pushing him. Juju Smith-Schuster will not play tonight. He was injured earlier today in practice. They brought the cart out to take him off the field, but he did walk out under his own power. Josh Dobbs, rookie quarterback, has been getting more and more snaps. Could present some problems for Landry as the backup role. That could be up in the air right now as a key battle. And James Conner, running back, with Le'Veon Bell out, James Conner will probably get some more snaps as well. Let's see with our Steelers.
I'll drop you some breaking news. I will match breaking news that Neil's bringing us from Adam Schefter's timeline with another one that came out before the Aaron Donald tweet. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell will report back to team before the regular season kicks off, though it remains unclear exactly when, per source.
So that's between now and opening day.
From Wade.
Yes. Between now.
I'm glad that was narrowed down to a nice, concise timeline between, you know, the next 3 weeks.
Well, I think it's important to note he plans on returning to the team before the regular season kicks off, whereas Aaron Donald plans on holding out deep into the season.
That is true. So that, but to be fair, Aaron Donald's still playing on a rookie contract. That was like 6 or 7 years when he signed.
Fair enough.
Understandably so.
All right. Do we have more here for the Steelers game?
The wide receiver battle, Sammy Coates and Martavis Bryant apparently going at it toe-to-toe in practice as well. So they're pushing each other for more playing time as also.
All right. Excellent. The New Orleans Saints are at the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego. So another game being held in the very small stadium. From the Charger side of things, we're watching the Anthony Lynn offense place there in San Diego. But again, wondering how the offensive line is going to remain healthy, because so far it's not looking all that good in terms of health. This is, of course, coming from the NFL.com write-up. On the Saints side, let's see here. We're watching offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk as he's going to make his debut against Joey Bosa. Again, while it might be a debut and he might be facing Joey Bosa for a little while, it's not exactly for an entire game. What did our super fans have to write about this game? That is a great question. Well, Chris, who is our Saints super fan, really likes how Alvin Kamara looked in week one and is looking to see how Ramczyk and Marshawn Lattimore, as they both come back from their injuries. He wonders if Garrett Grayson is done as a second string quarterback, as he didn't think he looked all that good. Wants to know if the Saints can win a preseason game. I don't know why he's putting so much emphasis on winning a preseason game. That ultimately shouldn't be the goal. It shouldn't be to win a preseason game. He even writes in all caps, even the Browns have won a preseason game, multiple exclamation points last week against the Saints. He's skipping number four to make it look like he had 5 points on this game. he just wants to make sure everybody stays healthy. All right. Our Chargers super fan. Ken, you need to feel
shame. Are we shaming him?
Shame. Shame to the young
California
Ken.
People these days. So it is too laid back out there in the West.
It really is. And I honestly don't have enough information to go on for the Chargers other than what I mentioned before from NFL.com. So sorry, Ken, I can't help you here. That is going to do it for your Chargers preview.
We can look for Keenan Allen on approximately the 5 minutes into the first quarter to tear his ACL, but yeah, that's about it.
that's pretty much all that we need to worry about. The final game on the docket is actually Monday night. It is the Giants at the Browns. Wow, who got awarded this this phenomenal?
I think it was me.
No, all right. Me. All right, Kevin, go for it.
Yeah, let's see here. Two of my favorite teams in the NFL, the Browns. I'm actually sort of excited to see the Browns just because they had 3 first-round draft picks. I think David Njoku, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, is going to suit up this week. He missed last week. Jabril Peppers, I'm excited to see. I think he had some pretty good punt returns last week. I know they probably want more from him since he was a first round pick, but he was one of my favorite players coming into the draft. I know the majority of Super fans did not like him, but I'm very excited for Jabril and I hope he comes on strong. And then lastly, of course, the first overall pick in the entire draft, Myles Garrett. Really curious to see him. Didn't watch the Browns game last week in the preseason. I mean, because of the Browns, I probably won't watch them. In all honesty, I probably won't watch them this week either. But let's just say I'm going to.
just so you know, from Adam Schefter's Twitter timeline, offensive lineman Joel Bitonio and Cameron Irvin, both injured on Monday, are aiming to play in week one versus Pittsburgh. So they're not going to get a lot of time out there during the preseason to protect Brock Osweiler, who everyone seems to believe is going to be the number one quarterback for this team.
Yeah, I was reading Joe Thomas wants it to be Brock Osweiler because he thinks it would be pushing along Deshaun Geiser too much, even though he did have a pretty good preseason week one. But yeah, obviously that's the biggest story for the Browns probably that I didn't mention is to see if Deshaun Geiser can improve upon his performance last week, which was already pretty impressive, which sort of shocked me because I don't think he's going to fare exactly that well in the NFL, especially on the Browns. But those are probably the 4 things Browns fans will be looking at. I know the Cleveland Browns super fan Ben, his write-up was pretty pessimistic, saying that he just hopes the defense improves upon their miserable performance from last week, both against the run and the pass. So if that's all he's looking for, it should be pretty simple to improve upon that. But let's just go to the Giants here. obviously my most hated team in the NFL. Live in this great state that harbors such a horrible team. I don't even know how it's possible, but I'm going to be looking for Paul Perkins to see.
Well, their first mistake was calling New York great, but that's okay.
Okay, I don't like the Yankees either. They have horrible sports teams, agreed, but the rest of New York, real good. Anyways, I digress. But Paul Perkins, interested to see how he plays. I think Wayne Gallman, for the rookie from Clemson, is sort of riding up his coattails to see more action. So Paul Perkins, I think there's a little pressure on him to impress. He did all right last week, but it was nothing special. I'm always looking forward to Ereck Flowers to see if he's improved. I doubt he has, but I've read things saying that he has. So I'm definitely going to tune in to this game just because it's Monday night. To watch my beloved Giants, especially Evan Engram, because he really worries me, Evan Engram. As we were talking before the show began, Evan Engram was one of Neil's favorite prospects coming into the draft. And he joins an already loaded, like, perhaps the best wide receiver core in the entire NFL. The Steelers may have something to say about that. But I'm really interested to see Evan Engram, see if he gets work out of the slot or if he gets work on the outside or even both, just because I just have so many nightmares about the Cowboys trying to cover him. So I'm really, really interested to see how he does. Other than that, the only player on defense I'm looking forward to see for the Giants is Dalvin Tomlinson, the rookie out of Alabama. I already know what Landon Collins brings to the table. He's probably not even going to play that much. We already know the Giants defense is good, and I'm just hoping Dalvin Tomlinson doesn't jump off the screen, because the Giants already scared me too much this year, and I'm hoping he just doesn't add to that. So, and Josh Johnson and Geno Smith, the backups for Eli, I'm sure they'll play. Josh Johnson was horrible last week. There's a hilarious clip of him not seeing a wide receiver in the end zone. Forget his name. I think it was Roger Lewis, who has been like a Giants preseason darling for the last 2 years. Probably not going to make the team again. But he was wide open in the end zone, just jumping up and down, and Josh Johnson failed to see him somehow, even though he was 5 yards behind, just 5 yards away from him. So yet another quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, is probably better than him. I just love coming back to it. But that's it. That's it there. Giants Browns close out the much beloved second week of the preseason with probably a meaningless Giants win. But let's just hope Odell gets a high ankle sprain and we'll call it a win.
By the way, you know, as a budding football coach myself, and by budding, I mean I will never coach past the level I'm currently coaching. And I'm pretty much at the end of my coaching career, as my son will be going on to high school next year. But I don't want to be seeing these professional wide receivers making these one-handed grabs, because now every kid at practice is like, oh, I'm at practice, I'm just going to make a one-handed grab. No, I need you to learn how to catch the ball properly, child. Not the way that this guy, this doofus on TV, is doing these circus acts.
And you should tell them Odell's one hand is probably the size of both of the hands combined. So
that is also true. So
he's also wearing gloves with a sticky surface.
Well, some of my kids like to wear those gloves too. Although they apparently don't work that well when you're pulling flags, because I just watch their hands just slip through the flag every single time. Anyway, I digress.
The NFL is so against these amazing plays, whether it's Odell doing the one-handed catch or the one-handed behind-the-back punt catch. I mean, people show up for, you know, an hour or two before, like, Golden State Warriors games and watch Steph Curry drain them from 10 rows deep in the stands. Just, I mean, it's fun. This is entertainment.
Sure. But I don't need the kids trying to reenact it in practice. They see Odell Beckham do it in practice, and they're like, oh, well, now I can do it in practice. No, you need to do it the right way in practice. You are not Odell Beckham.
Poor coaching, and poor discipline.
What you're talking about here is practice, not the game, but practice.
Also, practice, let's just be thankful they're trying to mimic let's just be thankful they're trying to mimic his one-handed catches and not mimic his hairdo, because we already have one Odell hairdo is enough in this world. Because that blonde hair, oh my God. Honestly, it makes me want to punch him. You heard that, Odell?
That is true, too. By the way, New York, not the greatest state. Connecticut, not the greatest state. How about Georgia, Eagles, James? Greatest state?
Hold on. What's so bad about New York? I'm curious to know.
New York is horrible. The cost of living in New York, the cost of living in New York, we'll just start there. You immediately don't have any argument just based on that.
Pretty much.
Let's see here.
Yeah. That's a pretty good argument.
Houston, James, you're not in Texas. You're somewhere else.
Washington.
I think he's in Seattle.
Yeah. How about Washington? Greatest state?
I can make a case for Washington or Oregon. Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess with all the rain out there, you guys stay relaxed and pretty mellow on a regular basis.
There's gonna be another rally probably in Oregon within the next 3 months. That state's equally as bad as any.
Oh God! See, that was exactly the kind of conversation I was looking to avoid.
I am a Cowboys fan, after all. I don't have a filter.
Neil, how about the state of Scotland? Is it? That doesn't work, does it?
Scotland's doing just fine. It was lovely over here. What I see, though, is I can see America. You're in a terrible state. I don't know where that is on a map, but probably all of it.
One thing in defense of New York, my apartment. How many of you can say this? I have a Thai food place, an Indian food place, a wing place, a sushi place, and a Vietnamese place, all within 1 minute of my apartment. And that's pretty impressive, is it not?
And the Tony
grocery stores.
I've got all that stuff within maybe a quarter mile. Closer than a quarter mile.
I can walk outside and literally see all of them. Like three, and one of them's one block away from me. But, you know, not exactly the best grocery shopper. I tend to order a lot of food because I have bad impulse control.
Oh, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell, we've reached the end of the wonderful podcast known as The Next Fan Up Show.
You know, I was disappointed with Kevin there. I thought when he was going to tell us how wonderful New York was, he was going to tell us about all the fabulous cultural and artistic opportunities. But it's just food.
food. I'm not really an arts kind of guy. So, I mean, Broadway's nice and all. I've actually went to a few Broadway shows the last few years. The last year, actually.
Hamilton?
I saw Avenue Q, which is an old play, but super funny. Super hilarious. And overall, a great time. I saw Puffs off Broadway, the Harry Potter parody. Any Harry Potter fans should probably check that out. And lastly, I saw Nick Kroll, John Mulaney, their parody skit Too Much Tuna on Broadway and off Broadway. So come to New York and you can experience all these wonderful things that I do, and just don't become a Giants fan and you're welcome.
Oh my goodness. Maybe at some point we'll discuss the many cultural things that you can do at your state nearby. Just for fun. I know Houston James wants us to get into a battle about tailgating food, but we're not going to do it now because that would take us way too much time.
But you're back on tailpipes again.
Yes. Bananas in the tailpipes at the tailgate. And there you have it. Next fan up.
Those are only in Buffalo.
It's the email address. At NFU Podcast is our Twitter handle, and facebook.com/NFU podcast to check us out on Facebook. nextfanup.wordpress.com is our website. That's where you'll be able to read all of our previews, at least the ones that were written, and the ones that we did not read verbatim here on the podcast. Check those out. nextfanup.wordpress.com. Two pods a day. Make sure you take part in two pods a day. It keeps the doctor away. And with that, here is Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.